Good morning. My name's Melchior. Don't feel bad if you have a little trouble pronouncing that name. Most people do. And I'm not from here. In fact, I'm a long way from home. A very, very long way. My friends and I, we arrived in Bethlehem yesterday. I was so glad to get off that camel. Have you ever ridden a camel? It's not as easy as it looks. I rode mine for hundreds of miles, felt like thousands of miles. And let me tell you, he smelled bad. He had a bad temper. He spit. He spit a lot. He didn't come when he was called. He didn't get up when he was told. I'm going to get a mule for the ride home. But enough of that. My colleagues and I, we've spent our lives studying the skies. Over the years, we've developed many elaborate theories about the meaning of these stars and what the planets mean and the times when they appear. Truth is, I've never been very sure about many of our conclusions. But one thing we could all see plainly. This new star was in that part of the sky that indicated a major event in the house of Jacob among the Jewish people who lived northeast of Egypt near the Western Sea. We argued a lot for a long time, my companions and I, but we finally agreed that the appearance of this new star must indicate the birth of a king. The one of us, I can't remember which one of us, doesn't really matter, but one of us suggested this really wild plan. We could go and find this new king. So we packed up our camels and followed a star to find the child. Now, does that seem kind of strange to you? Just kind of leaving home and following a star, believing that someone important has been born beneath that star? Sure did to my wife, and it still does to me as well. But life can sometimes be very strange indeed. For example, I think it's strange that a child who will grow to be such a great king was born in a stable. Ooh, it undoubtedly smelled worse in there than my camel does. But there he was. And as his parents, Mary and Joseph, told us the story of his birth, the things that had been seen, that had been told to them by angels, and what the shepherds saw and heard, then I came to understand that this was no earthly king. Rather, in the body of this little boy child, God had come to live among us. I know in my heart that this child was sent by God to be the ruler of all of us. That's why I brought him gold, a symbol of kingship on earth. People back home may not believe us when we tell them of this journey. But I believe that God has come among us and is working out his plan among the Jewish people. I was there, and I believe.
សួស្តីខ្ញុំឈ្មោះ Caspar ពួកម៉ាក់ខ្ញុំឈ្មោះ Bel Makio យើងមកពីស្រុកឆ្ងាយជីខាម៉ូពិបាកមែនទែន My name is Caspar Please don't mind my friend Makio He's feel a little bit crabby right now He really doesn't like the camels and I don't think they like him eitherThey spat on him. And it can be very hard visiting a foreign country where everything is different. The food is different. You can't find the food that you used to eat. The language is different. We think we speak strangely, and they think we speak strangely. We have trouble understanding them, and they have trouble understanding us.Sure, we're following the star, but we don't really exactly know where we're going. We just know, and we believe in our hearts that we just have to keep following. We are strangers in Bethlehem, but there are thousands of strangers in Bethlehem right now because of the census. It is very crowded. The streets are filled with people, soldiers, and you can't find food stands anywhere. No food.Can't find a place to have a bath and a shower, and some places it's very smelly. And we might just feel as crabby as Melchior if we have to visit one of those places. It is very noisy as well. It's very hard to understand and hear. But me, I am glad. I'm so very glad that I came and I saw the child. The stars are messages in the sky above us, and they don't lie.The child will teach us about God. He will be a great priest. This is why I brought him frankincense. At home, priests burn frankincense, and the smoke is considered to be holy. My heart is full of joy and hope for this little tiny priest, for the world is troubled. There are too many wars. There are too many hungry people on the streets.And there are too many walls. I think we truly need to learn about God and this child.
My name is Balthazar, and I too am glad that I've made this very long trek from Arabia to see this child. When I received the first message from Belchior, I was stunned.How could I have missed such an important sign? How could I have not heard about such things that are happening in the lands of my brothers? For we are brothers, you know. We, the Arabs and the Jews, we in Arabia count ourselves as the descendants of Ishmael, the firstborn of Abraham, the elder brother of Isaac. But alas,From the time of our shared ancestry, we've been at odds with our brothers. But that's a story for another time. That message from Melchior, I spent many hours mulling over that message, wondering what did it mean? I searched the writings we had in our records, and I stared into the night sky, and I spent a long time in very deep meditation. What should I do?And then a second messenger came. Melchior had been joined by Caspar, who came from even further east. They were certain that the child had been born. Even more so, they were sure that a human king had been born, that God had come to earth in a baby.And so I decided right then and there to join them in their journey to find this child. So I gathered a small escort and went to meet them on the road. And of course, I took my gift for the newborn king. I gathered together a large supply of myrrh. You see, in addition to being a scholar of studying the skies and the stars, I have been somewhat blessed with the gift of being able to interpret dreams. And it was in a dream that I was told what my gift would be for this very special child. Sadly, deep in my heart, I knew that one day this child would be put to death. And so my gift had to be a large supply of myrrh, the sacred burial spice. And so I joined my fellow travelers, and there were quite a lot of us by this time, an entourage, armed men as an escort, and we continued on to the most logical place to look for the new king of the Jews. We went to Jerusalem. People there really didn't know what to make of us. So we went to King Herod for some guidance. But thankfully, some of our fellow scholars told us that we really should be heading to Bethlehem, that that's where we would find the baby. And so we left that Jewish king, Herod. We really didn't trust him. In Arabia, we had heard about how jealous and violent and murderous he was. And I was warned in another dream that if we told Herod where the baby was, the baby would die. And so I had to share that with my companions, and at that point there was no question. We would not go back to Herod, and we would go home by a different road. So we continued on our journey, and when we finally arrived, when we found the baby, something happened to me that I really didn't expect. It was such a small child, looking so helpless. How could one so small bring such hope to this world? It seemed so unfair to pile our needs and our dreams and our hopes on such small shoulders. And so when I first looked at that little child, I was filled with immense joy, followed immediately by feeling very sad, because seeing that baby made me think of my own grandchild back home. You see, for me, it's the children who must lead us into the future. So we must care for our children, all of our children. I do hope that my grandchild is all right. And I do hope that this new king that I have visited will also be all right. Yes, I gave the child myrrh, the oil rubbed on bodies of the dead to honor the life that has ended. It may seem like a very strange gift, but I believe that this child will become a great king, a great priest, a great teacher. And when he is done, he will deserve to be anointed with this precious oil.
Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory. Child. talking about Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. He was heralded by the angels, born in a lowly manger. The Virgin Mary was his mother, and Joseph was his earthly father. Oh, three wise men came from afar. They were guided by a shining star to see King Jesus where he lay in a manger filled with hay. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, sweet little Jesus, he's so lovely. Life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, sweet baby Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. Talking about Jesus. Jesus, so lowly, so meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Glory, glory, glory.
I'm not sure it's fair that I have to follow that. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Nikki. Where does the time go? It seems that it was just a few short days ago that we were celebrating the birth of the Christ child. Parcels ripped open, bows all over the floor, stockings emptied, turkey in the oven, new kitten up the Christmas tree. It was bedlam. For weeks leading up to that one special day, television and radio did their very best to capture our attention, helping merchants everywhere peddle their wares, using every tactic at their disposal to convince us that the perfect gift was a mere swipe away. Secular Christmas songs dominated airwaves in the mall, in the grocery store, in the radio station, in the truck, in the house, 24/7. Lights and tinsel and festive decorations were everywhere. And then, it was as if somebody flipped a switch. Christmas is over. The trees come down, needles have been vacuumed up, the ornaments have been carefully packed away and put in storage until next year. Some really diligent doobies have already got the lights down off their house. The stale cookies have either been passed off into the kids' lunches or given to the birds or put in the compost. Not the Joan and Dave birds, by the way, the birds outside. I didn't do that. Kids go back to school tomorrow. Parents who got time off over Christmas go back to work tomorrow. Bus routes come off the holiday schedule and get us where we want to go when we need to be there. Lineups at the mall will hopefully be shorter. And here at church, this will be the last Sunday for several months that we get to sing Christmas songs. So I guess that means Christmas really is over, right? Or maybe not. Because today, we celebrate Epiphany, the season of revealing God with us. And I emphasize with, God with us. And today we hear the story of the arrival of the Magi, the travelers from the East who've come to worship and find the newborn king. From Scripture, we actually know very little about them. Over the centuries, Christian traditions have enriched their story by adding numbers. So tradition says that there were three wise men. Names have been assigned to them, so Melchior and Caspar and Balthazar. And even their mode of transportation has been added. Apparently, they traveled by camel. But the truth is, we don't actually know how many of them there were. There may well have been only three. But the arrival of those wise men may also have been the grandest caravan parade that that part of the world had ever seen. We just don't know. Some stories suggest that these travelers arrived at the stable to honor the infant Christ child. But scholars now suggest that that is highly unlikely. It is more likely that the baby was closer to 2 years old by the time these travelers from the East found him. There is a meme that goes around this time of year, which just makes me chuckle every time I read it, suggesting that if the travelers from the East had been wise women instead of wise men, they would have asked for directions, shown up on time, helped deliver the baby, brought diapers and formula, made casseroles for the week, cleaned the stable, and then there would be peace on earth. I like that meme. And as entertaining as it might be, there's actually a part of it that might not be that far from the truth. Because we just don't know whether all the Magi, whether all those travelers were men. There very well could have been one or two or 50 wise women in the mix. It's possible. And it's unlikely that these wise people were kings, or that they had camels. So think about the distance that they traveled, bringing their stuff along, not riding on camels, walking on foot most of the way. Suddenly that distance, that journey, that mode of transportation makes everything far more difficult, and it would take a whole lot longer. I mean, imagine if you set out from here without a car, without a camel, without a bike, just your running shoes and your backpack, and you were to walk to Tobermory. Now, I don't know why you'd do that, but imagine if you did. Like, you're not going to get there overnight. This journey would have taken them quite some time. They traveled an incredible distance. They endured hardships along the way. They were led miraculously by a star, the story says, but even if it wasn't a physical star, there was something that was pulling them towards that baby. And they followed it, all to find, whether it be an infant or a toddler, who had been born to poor refugee parents, and they were there to worship him and adore him and bring him gifts. They brought the gifts that meant something to them. Just like every day when you wake up, you have the chance to do that too. And it might not be gold, and it might not be myrrh, and it might not be frankincense. But in each one of you is a gift that you have a chance to give every moment of every day. These strangers from afar, they probably weren't Jews, and they certainly weren't Christians.
They come and remind us that this babe, this wee infant child, was born for all people everywhere, no matter the race, no matter the creed, the color, the sexuality. That baby came for everyone. Jesus' message and his salvation is manifested to all people, regardless of origins or nationality. There are no exclusive rights to the love and grace brought into this world by that child. Those strangers from afar, they broke ethnic barriers. The people of that time who claimed to be wise, the local priests and the rulers of the region, even Herod, the Jewish king, they weren't the ones to find the newborn baby. The foreigners found the infant king. People whose appearance probably made them stand out for no other reason than they were different. A wee baby. An incredible gift. A gift of life, for all people. No exceptions. So if Jesus can come into this world in human form for anyone, regardless of who they are or where they're from, can we not do the same? Jesus is the light for the whole world. Can we be a light for all? From those who are different from us, those who live differently, those who speak differently, those who believe differently. Jesus did. After such an incredible journey, it is doubtful that the lives of the Magi would ever be the same. And really, is it any different with any one of us? Our journeys are not always easy, and yet something continues to draw us back to that very special babe, and we're changed. Even if it's just a little bit at a time, we're changed. Epiphany, this visit from afar, reminds us that we have been given a gift. A gift that it is meant to change us. It means Christmas is not over. We all have gifts to offer anytime, anywhere, no matter what day the calendar says it is. Because the gifts that you and I each have are not meant to be wrapped in a box and closely guarded and tucked away and not opened again until Advent 1 of 2019. The love that we've been blessed with, the love that we're called to share with all people, is far more precious than any amount of gold. Our sorrows, the gift of myrrh, are meant to be shared. We comfort and are comforted by one another. And the frankincense of our hopes and dreams helps to carry us forward and inspire one another along our own individual and collective journeys. The journey of these wise men reminds us that the kingdom of God, the here and now kingdom of God, is to be lived to its fullest, as if every day really was Christmas. The Christ child has been revealed. The light that comes from the babe is for all, and it's for each one of us to carry and to share. Anne Weems sums this up nicely in her poem, January Song. There's a rumor on the streets that Christmas is over. Lights and ornaments are packed away, trees dragged to the curb, people back to business as usual. We're no longer in a party mood. The humbugging is back in full swing.
This is January. How can Christmas be over? The child is just newborn. The song of peace and goodwill still rings in our ears. The shepherds and sages still kneel to this one who is born to us, just born to us. How can Christmas be over? The story of the gospel is just beginning. We who saw the star now live in its light. We who saw and heard now believe. Christmas is not over. We're just beginning to follow this one who calls us now to live in the light of love. Christmas is not over. It's just beginning. And this is January's song. Merry Christmas.